Welcome to the Leadership Loop podcast. Today, we're having a conversation with Ryan and Christina Gilbreth, amazing leaders, and we're going to be talking about how your most lasting leadership legacy is not going to be the organization you lead, but the people you love. How do you lead outside of work? That's what we're talking about today. I hope you like and subscribe because we've got more great content coming up soon. Now, let's turn to the conversation with Ryan and Christina. Guys, welcome. I am so glad to have you and we're excited to have this conversation today. Yeah. I want to start out just by asking this question. When did you realize that leadership matters beyond your work atmosphere, like in your family, with your friends? Is there a moment that you guys realized that recently?
Yeah, I think we've always kind of known that it's important, but I think we came to this apex with our oldest daughter. So we have the four girls. Our oldest is 8 years old, and she came to us recently, and she's like, "Dad, I want a cell phone." And I'm like, "What do you mean you want a cell phone? You're eight, child. Yeah. Like, you're good."
Yeah.
She says, "My friends have it, and everybody has a cell phone."
But you don't, and you're not like, gonna.
Nope. Yes. But I remember like, oh, I've not helped her understand why we wouldn't have a cell phone at this age, like what would be appropriate, not appropriate. And it began to even challenge even a broader scope of what are the conversations we need to have with our kids at what point. And we started to realize we got to help them not just to tell them no, but we got to help them understand the why to the what. And so I think for us, that's when we started to be like, okay, intentional conversations are so imperative before we kind of get caught up into things that they're kind of getting exposed to. So I think that's a more recent reality for us.
Yeah. One of our mentors, our pastor, Pastor Sean Nipp said, he said, every family ends up somewhere, but few families end up somewhere on purpose. And I think that for us, especially we're in vocational ministry. And so it might be easy for us to push cruise control with our family and our kids, assuming that they are learning values because they're in church on a Sunday, yeah, or assuming that they're picking up, you know, what's important. But we realize like quickly that, oh, actually like proximity and quality time are essential in our home to actually bring about, you know, the feeling and vibe of what we're hoping our girls are raised in and the people that they grow to become. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's important to us to really spend time with them and be intentional. I know that quantity time might not be something that's always accessible when you're like working, both parents working and yeah, trying to keep things going financially or whatever, but quality time is so important and you mm-hmm. can plan that. And that brings about we're actually like we can plan to have quality conversations with yeah, our girls, talking about values and those things. So yeah.
Oh, I love that. So the why to the what, mm-hmm, that's a part of really every leadership conversation yeah, that people should be having. Not always do we have it, but I think answering that why, and it's so easy as a parent to just tell the what, like, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Cause I said so.
Right. And stop asking me, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But pausing, giving time for the why, yeah, that's so important. So tell me this, what are you currently excited about in leadership?
Oh goodness. Well, I think it's really fun to see those you're leading come alive. Yes. In how God has designed them to be. So specifically for my world in motherhood right now, thinking about our daughters, they're young. You know, we have four daughters yeah, and they're little girls, but watching them and their personalities all develop, I'm learning that my role as a leader in their life is not to create many Christinas, mm, but to see how God has designed them to be a London, a Willow. Who's Remington designed to be? How has God created Kensington to grow up to be? Mm. So watching them in their personalities and me as a leader to say, how can I help them become healthy in who they are created to be in their personalities? What can I do to invest into that? So it's fun to watch them to discover their gifts and their preferences and things. Yeah. It's super fun. I love to see that.
You know, we had our pastors challenged us and they were, you know, we realize having kids and our oldest is eight, we don't have it all figured out.
100%.
We're like, okay, we're needing other voices in our life. We are engaging in this type of content as well with those that are further along, and an individual that is like that is going to be one of the pastors in our world, and they shared with us. They said, you've got to take the window moments with your kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what do you mean? They said, you will find there is a time when they will open up the window for you into their world and into their heart, and you're going to want to pause and lean into that. And they were sharing that with us about 2 years ago, and I'm like looking for the window moments. And you know, our oldest was only 6 at the time, and I'm like, there ain't no windows in her world. Like it is, yeah. You know, it is just all
from
things,
unicorns to Barbies to sprinkles
and sparkles and fun.
Yeah.
And as time started to go on, she will come and then sit next to me. And I realized quickly she's wanting to begin to just engage.
Yes.
And when she starts to then position herself with proximity, it's a cue for me to like, oh, this is a window. We're gonna pause what we're engaging in, and then I give her my full attention. Yep. I'm like, hey, baby girl, like, how was your day?
Yeah.
Like, what are you thinking about? Was something that's like was a little bit tough today? Yeah. And we do a silly thing in our home. We always ask these questions. What are your apples and onions?
Yeah.
And so
apples are like the good things. Okay. And then onions are like the yeah.
Why do you hate onions?
Because
so much?
Ryan hate red onions.
Rinds, all right?
Red raw onions. They're yes. bitter.
But here's the thing, but for them they get it. Yeah. Our 5-year-old understands like yeah. the apple of my day was that I had recess yeah. and it was so fun. Yeah. And then London begins to engage with us. She's like, this is my onion. Like someone was not kind to me. Mm. Oh, here's a window into our world. Yep. So I think in the area of the leadership that we get excited about is like they're human beings that mm-hmm. God has created. Yep. And the discovery phase is so fun yes. for us. It's yeah. just like you get a little freaked out like, okay, are we doing this all right? Yeah. Okay, here we go. But engaging in the window moments, I think, was a key thing for us.
Well, those window moments, they usually come at inconvenient times.
100%.
Yes. Right?
Always.
Yes.
Yes.
Like it's like, absolutely. Oh, no, not right now. Please. Oh, yeah. Right now.
Yes. Yes.
And so whether that's at home, whether that's at work,
yes.
like the window moments are usually inconvenient. And yes. if you're not careful, you're going to miss them.
Yes.
And so I love that you're saying like, hey, I'm learning to lean into it and just pause whatever I'm doing because this is important.
Yes. Yes.
That's so good.
I think it also, you know, thinking outside of the context of parenting and like leading those that you love outside of your home too, when you have an opportunity to have that window and you just are quiet and listen to them, there's something that we learn from them because leaders are students and those that we're leading, we're in a position to learn from them and to grab from them. Okay, they're going through something or they're coming to me with a question or they're expressing an idea. Mm. We are also sponges as leaders and it's very fun because it keeps us humble and also keeps us sharp to have that perspective of, you know, we're all learning from each other. I might be further along in something, but you're bringing something to the table that I can pick up. So that's super fun also in helping those that we're leading.
I love that. Okay, so you both are in high demand through jobs, through all of the responsibilities that you have. How do you manage your energy so that you're not giving it all away to work or other things, but saving your best energy for those you love?
Yeah, gosh. This one is such a big question because I feel like I failed in it for a season of our oldest's life. Mm. And you know, I'm a driven individual. I like to achieve. I like to accomplish. And so I love work. Like I'm built for it. I love going into the office. I love what I get to do. I come alive in all of those things. But I also love being a parent too. In the earlier days, I realized like I would give everything to my job. And I was great staying late. I was fine answering the phone at home. I'm texting, I'm emailing. Mm-hmm. And then there was a moment when things began to shift. And I think it was, you know, our oldest is becoming aware of like how much the phone was a hindrance. Mm-hmm. And one time she grabbed it and she threw it. And it was like it's her expression of like, stop being on your phone. And I realized there's got to be a change.
Yeah.
So what I've done now in the last probably 3 to 4 years, we've been really intentional about this. And for me, I have about a 25-minute drive from the office to home. Yeah. And so when I get off work, it's like my mental invisible barrier. I have this moment where there's like this stop sign that then I drive to like these open fields and then we get to like our house.
Yeah.
And in my mind, that's my mental transition barrier. Mm. And so I'm like, okay, I'm mentally gearing up to enter into the world with my family.
Yep.
And I make it a point to never walk into our home still on a conversation or my phone in my
that's
hands.
Great.
So I think the energy level, it's not just the energy, but it's the optics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want my kids to see that dad is 100% present.
Yeah.
So I want to wrap everything up in the car. So when I walk through the door, it's a party. Like they're screaming, they're excited.
And
it's
it
my
is.
Favorite time
the
of the day.
Yes.
It's so much fun. Yeah. You know, like, and I know that I won't get this every day, but,
hey,
but
take
I love
it. Take it while you can get it, because they're going to be teenagers. They're gonna be
like,
dad.
Like, oh, dad's home again. But I love it. And like we're partying and the energy just skyrockets in the moment.
Yes.
And they get all of me. And
yeah.
then we connect. And it's yeah. important for them to see Christina and I connect.
Yeah.
And then we're just very intentional. Like in that evening time, in the evening rhythms, we try to make it like I'm connecting with each of them individually.
Yeah.
So our youngest, she's 17 months old, 18
yeah.
months old.
Yeah.
She needs from me is just to hold her
yeah.
for about 10 minutes.
Yep.
Yep.
And I realized that, and I was like, okay, so I usually try to grab her, and I'm holding her, mm-hmm. and then she settles. She gets,
yes.
like, at peace, and then she's
it's
off and playing again.
Yeah.
yeah. And then my other girls, they just want to chat, 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 chat. You know, they're going. And then my Remy just wants to sit by me. And so mm-hmm. I kind of know that.
Yeah.
So I think for us, that's – for me individually, it's that mental transition, and I'm like, I'm ready to come in and give them everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. And I think for me, it's like, you know, even if we look at what – if you look from it from even a biblical perspective of when Jesus talks about seeking first the kingdom of heaven, he's speaking to relationship with him.
Yeah.
Like more than us doing things and being busy and working for those that are in ministry, working in ministry or, you know, just in your everyday life, what you're doing for God. He's after just that relationship
yep.
factor with us. And it's like once, you know, that time with the Lord is so important every day for me because it is my grounding time. It's my time to just center my heart
yes,
and get my
good.
Mind in a right place. And then everything else just kind of works out. So when
yeah.
I put my energy first to him, the other things in my life work out.
Yeah.
Similarly, if I look at it with my family, the most important demand is my family. Like the most important relationships is right at home. Before the demands outside of the home, it's the demands in my home that are priority for me. And when those needs are met, the other needs outside of my house, they're gonna get met too.
Yeah.
It might not be on their timeline, but it actually, in the end, I am healthier.
Yeah.
I live my life healthier as an individual, and my household is healthy.
Yeah.
So it's coming up with those boundaries of, okay, have I spent time with my daughters and my husband? How are they doing? What do they need from me? Are these outside demands going to just serve those people? Or is this something that will also serve us as a family?
Yeah.
Because I believe that God calls a family. Whatever vocation you're in, whatever you're doing, he cares about the family unit.
Yes.
And his heart is
so
about
much.
Relationship
yeah.
and the relationship with either your spouse or with
mm-hmm.
your kids or with your parents. He's about relationship in your home. And that is priority for him, getting those things healthy and then saying yes to the outside things.
Yeah.
So we get creative because there are seasons where life demands us out of the house more than in the house.
Yeah.
So, okay, it doesn't, again, it's quality. Might not be quantity, but quality. How can I get creative with having time with my girls? We have family Fridays. So that looks like pizza, movies, we play a game. In fact, you and your wife just sent us this really fun kids card game, which took Ryan and I like an hour and a half to figure out.
Yeah.
But
Sleeping
thank
Queens.
You. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Apparently we are not smarter than a fifth grader. So
we'll play it together sometime.
Okay.
Help
okay.
you out.
But like those kind of things bring such value. So they have a peace. So the energy in the house has been met.
Yeah.
And so if we're gone for a weekend trip with work or whatever, that Friday was a deposit.
Yes.
And then even on a Saturday, well, we're gone. Like this morning, we're out of town. We FaceTime our girls in a Starbucks and we have conversations that they love.
Yeah.
We talk about what they love. We
yeah.
invest into them.
Mm-hmm.
So they still feel us, even if we're not in the house.
That's
so, get creative. Cake pop Tuesdays. Tuesdays are big days in our house.
Yeah.
We go to get cake pops at Starbucks. Like, you know, find ways to have fun and bring that energy in your house, even though life outside is pulling you.
Yeah. Yeah.
They will feel it.
Yeah.
Can I think something you said that was so crucial for me as a Jesus follower is the foundation of my day. Like, if I want my energy to be managed well all day, I need to start well.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, you know, you said, hey, I make time for the Lord, seek first his kingdom. And that helps me in my relationships. And I think for someone who's not a Jesus follower, you recognize the importance of relationships, whether you're a Jesus follower or not. Like, if your relationships aren't right, then you are going to feel it. It's going to be a drain on your energy. And so to start foundationally saying, if you're not a Jesus follower, saying, how can I make my relationships good today? Is a fantastic foundation to just start saying, I'm going to manage my energy well by managing my relationships well. And if you don't, if your relationships are out of hand, then your energy is going to be gone. So yeah, I love all that you guys said on that one.
Yeah.
So, so good. How do you make sure that you have transferable things from your work into your friendships, into your family? Like, what skills are transferable? What sort of things do you guys go, oh, this I'm taking from work and I'm using in my family, or this I'm taking from work and I'm using with my friends?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so good. I think, you know, all of us, you know, where if you're in corporate world or you're in ministry or whatever vocational job you have, there's going to be a culture that's set within your job.
Yeah.
There's a culture, there's an ethos, there is something that is being created, and really culture is, how does it feel?
Yeah.
And so, you know, we recognize that culture is anything that you've created or allowed, and that's transferable into the home.
Yep.
What kind of culture have we cultivated and have we created? And that's a big deal for us. And so we're high energy people. And so our home is a little bit... Yeah, we're going to be your extroverts. And so I'm sure one of our girls is going to be an extreme introvert, and we're going to figure it out. All right. But we have fun at home. The culture of our home is celebratory. It's loud. It's fun. We laugh a lot. We attempt to dance a lot. Like,
he's a really good dancer, by the way.
Right.
Ryan actually won a dance award back in the day. Just side note there. I want to give a little shout out to.
Yeah, it was just, you know, in Montana, there's just a lot of cowboys in my school. And so.
He's
yeah,
really
they may not
dancer.
Have had
like
those
line
skills.
Dancing. Got
so,
it.
But yeah.
I was picturing like hip hop or something.
He can actually.
Dancing.
He goes from country to hip hop real quick. Okay, moving on.
Anyway, but I would say culture's key. Another piece that we realized, and I started to feel it about 6 months ago for our family, our values. And I think organizations, they're going to have written out values that we are going to try to adhere to. We see those, you know, threaded throughout organizations. And I felt this kind of tug of like, I don't have values that are articulated in my home. And then I began to go on this journey to feel like, what is it that I want our girls to embody? What is it that I want us to embody? There's things that we naturally already had. And so we started this journey, and what emerged out of it was these five values that that we kind of came up with. And so for us, you know, we walk in truth. That's one of our values. We help others win. Like, that's a huge, that's me to the core. If you cut me, I bleed. I want to help others win.
Yeah.
And so out of the overflow of who I am, it's also going to be a value set within the culture of our home. Yeah. And so we put God first. Like, that's also a value that we have in the Gilbert home.
Yeah.
We live for the impossible. We believe for
miraculous.
The impossible.
Yeah.
And so we serve a big God. And so that's a value set that we're wanting to instill into our girls. And then we love deep. And now our three-year-old, she doesn't understand any of that. She's like, you know. But our five-year-old and our eight-year-old, when we have conversations, and it's usually when we're hitting this pinch point, and there's frustration between the two, you know, the older two girls, it's like, hey, you guys are best friends.
Yeah.
We speak to who they are going to become.
Yes.
We speak to the destiny of really of what's on the inside of them, even though they may not see it now. It's the potential of what's to emerge. And we begin to tell them, hey, we love deep. Yeah. Gilbert's love deep.
Yes.
This is not a symbol of loving deep. And so I would say culture and those value sets are huge for us.
Yeah. And in those, you know, because we really believe the Bible is foundational for a life. And so we have Bible verses that are attached to those values.
Yeah.
So for us, it's like, that's the truth. That we go to the Word of God. What does God say about loving?
Yeah.
It says that love covers a multitude of sin. Okay. So, you know, even in our marriage, like, hey, we have to go to those values. I mean, you know, pulling teeth sometimes to, you know, in a marital conversation. but hey,
that's what you call your fights.
Yeah.
Marital
conversations. Intense conversations. But you know, okay. So we put God first in everything. So right now, even in this tense moment, God, you're here.
Yeah.
We invite God's presence into our home. We recognize that he's here. And that is the game changer for it all for us as a family.
Yeah.
So all these values are beautiful. We've printed them out. They're on a lovely poster by our brand new espresso machine.
Oh, praise the Lord.
But none of it is alive unless we recognize that the presence of God breathes life on those values in us.
Yeah.
So it's us as individuals in our home going to those values and saying, as for me today, I'm going to believe that God is a God of the impossible.
Yeah.
As for me today, I'm going to walk in truth. And then we corporately, you know, use that in a relationship. Another thing I think that from outside leadership in our home is, and this is something that Ryan teaches and does so well within his environment of leading the church, but really you model, you encourage, you develop, and then you empower those that you're leading. So for our kids, if you will, we model forgiveness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we are in an argument, our conversation, or if I have been out of line as a mom, I model repentance, which is so hard.
Humbling.
Can I just say?
humbling.
Yeah, I'll never forget the first time I felt the nudge of the Lord in my heart. He said, "You need to apologize to London.
Yeah.
Your tone was actually really harsh, and that was not my heart."
Yeah.
And I mean, I had to get down on my knees and look her in her big brown eyes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she had hurt feelings. I hurt her heart. And I had to repent to my daughter. I had to apologize. Hey, mommy, sorry. So modeling like repentance and then modeling forgiveness and then encouraging them. See something, say something. Speaking life over who they are.
Yeah.
And Ryan said, even if you don't see it right away, there are seeds in their lives.
Yeah.
And our words can either cause those seeds to grow or kill those seeds in their life. And we're held accountable for that as leaders of people that we're leading. We're held accountable for how we speak over those people, encouragement or death, really.
Yeah.
And then developing them. Okay, if I don't have what they need as a leader to develop them, I'm going to find somebody that can coach them in this way.
Mm.
You know, we're doing homeschool. I'm terrible at math, so I'm going to find a math tutor. Like, that's my world, though. That's my context of developing. I don't need to have it all. I don't know it all.
Right.
So as a leader, the best thing I can do is find other great leaders.
Yes.
Hey, read this. Look at this.
Yep.
And then empower them. Hey, what do you think? You try this. You do. London's learning how to make breakfast, and my kitchen's a mess, and it makes me angry.
Yeah.
Like, I love tidy kitchens, but I'm empowering her to learn how to cook.
Yep.
And I might be a terrible cook, but she's learning because somebody in the house needs to know. So, yeah.
Oh, that's so good, you guys. That's really good. You guys touched on this a little bit, but how about the sensitive topic of leading your spouse? How do you lead each other? And is leadership with your spouse manipulation? And when does it cross the line? And let's go there.
Oh, it's getting good.
Ooh,
it's getting saucy.
All right.
I love submission.
Yeah.
I'm just.
Yo. Listen up, woman.
Listen.
No, I think, okay, so we've grown up very differently.
Yeah.
Our family context, so her parents, you know, they were married their whole life. My mom is, you know, she's on her third marriage. And it doesn't make that bad. It just means that it's just a different reality of what we experienced. And so as we came into our marriage and then with faith in the mix as well, it's been a journey. You know, we've been married for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would not say it's all been great. And so it's definitely been a journey, but it's great right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of the things that has helped that is that we co-parent, we co-lead. But I know it's my responsibility as the father, as the husband, that I am continuing to push us not only in the culture of our home, but also in the direction that we feel God's leading us as well. So one of the things that I was challenged with even just this last year, I had a friend of mine, and he was just talking about how he does a check-in with his child and his kiddos. And they asked these three questions. And he said, he asked his son this. He goes, what do you want me to start doing? What do you want me to stop doing? And what do you want me to keep doing?
Yeah.
And I was like, dang, that's profound, you know. But then I realized that's actually something that was so needed even in the context of our marriage.
Yeah.
What do you need me to start doing?
Yeah.
What do you need me to stop doing? And what would you like me to keep doing?
Yeah.
And what it does, instead of assuming what I think she wants, it actually gets to the conversation of like, I get to serve you.
Yeah.
Because I think leading is serving oftentimes.
Yes.
And I think I can miss it. Because in the busyness and in the expenditure of energy, like we talked about, we get to a place where we feel like I deserve to be served when I walk through the door and you got that meal ready, you got those kids all buttoned up and I'm ready to relax. It's like,
wrong,
whoa, wait
woman.
A second.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Yep. Learn that real quick. I was like, oh, all right.
There's
we got
the microwave.
To pivot a little bit. But I think recognizing, if I can learn how to serve her better and meeting her needs, that's going to begin to serve our family best. And so I wouldn't say we do it perfectly.
No.
And we had this conversation. It ended okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say it was even great. It was like, okay, it was good. But it was like, oh, that was tough. All right.
It was a good, hard conversation.
It was. Yeah.
And just because those conversations are hard doesn't mean they're not good.
Yeah.
It was needed and necessary.
Yeah.
And I think especially – as a woman, and I'm raising four women who, you know, I pray over their future marriages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are so many, Ryan and I in our life, we've had to make hard choices. And developing those choices together, conversating about them, asking the questions, feeling each other's heart, and journeying through this process, something that I'm reminded of, I mean, again, for us, putting God first in everything means for me specifically, I got to get in my prayer time and get God's heart and perspective for my husband. Because if I come to him with a conversation that's hard about our future and I have not caught the heart of God for him, oftentimes my mindset is rooted in selfishness and control. And there is this movement that the saying is the future is female. And it's actually come against the gift of men in our world and in our families, in our home. And what happens is because there was a time and a season where the voice of women was silenced because they were told to be seen and not heard. They weren't given the right to vote. All of these things in our history, which was a sin against God's creation of women. So then we came into that position now of equality. But then there's this deceit that I feel has come to where we emasculate men and tell them, even in our marriage, well, I am woman, hear me roar. I'm going to tell you what to do. You're going to follow my opinion. I know what's best. And it's actually out of a heart that is selfish and manipulative. And there's a proverb that I love. It says, a wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. And in those hard decision-making times, if I come at us with like, I don't care what you think because I know what's best. Like, I actually do know what's best. And so this is what we're going to do. But I'm going to let you think you know what's best. But we're going to come to my decision because I'm going to throw a tantrum.
Yeah.
What happened is I'm tearing down what actually matters. We're on the same team.
Yes.
We are on the same team. And both of us, if one of us loses in the conversation, both of us have lost.
Yep.
So it really is not about like, well, you need to listen to what I want. It's about me hearing, okay, what is he saying? We got to get the right tone. All of that is stuff we grow in over the years with communication. We're growing. Like the right delivery matters, right?
Yes.
But like, what is Ryan's heart? Mm-hmm. What's he actually feeling? Because I care about that. That's what I'm married to. Mm-hmm. That's what matters. And then, you know, again, because we are faith people, like without the Lord in the middle of this, we wouldn't be married.
No.
We would not be married still. We need the wisdom and counsel of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So I would say in those tough moments, fight it out, work it out, but get to the place where you are listening for his heart or are you just demanding him to hear yours? Because no one will win.
It's good.
So good, you guys. If you're thinking about your home or your friendships, you know, a lot of times so far we've been talking about how do you lead?
Yeah.
But how do you create a culture of leadership where you help other people lead? So in your home, with your friends, what do you guys do to create that culture of leadership that says, I believe in you, I want to help you? What do you do? What do you guys do?
I think one of the greatest gifts that we've had with individuals that have gone before us is proximity. And I think for us that they have opened their world to us to ask any question and just to be with them in their journey. I think when you can see, you can learn things through, you know, like a classroom setting and somebody's teaching and they're giving, disseminating of information. You know, you can learn through other avenues of reading and absorbing it yourself. But I do think there's something so powerful when you get to be in the mix and it's almost like a hands-on experience and you're watching it, you're seeing the interactions. And I think for me that to be able to have the opportunity to kind of step into different people's world at crucial times where they've allowed that, we try to do that as well. Like our home is a pretty open home. And we are, we're open books, maybe too much, you know, but we want to give time to individuals that so deserve it, which is most people. And we want to help others win. That's at the core of who we are. And so if we truly believe that, then we're going to give investment to that. So we will kind of bring people along with us. There's been individuals throughout our years of you know, parenting, and even right now, that they're just in our home. They're around us, and they have that opportunity. We don't have it all together. But they're just there, and there's something that they're observing. And then they'll ask questions. And we'll begin just to talk openly about that. And again, we don't have it figured out, but we'll give you what we got.
And I think one thing I'm so appreciative of, you know, leaders and mentors in our life that I look at, and what they did for us is they raised us up and then they released us. I think that what's dangerous for leaders is to look at people as if they are a property to your organization, or even your children as if they're your property, when really God's asked us to love people with an open hand and to say, how can I steward what's in my hand? Because that's my assignment, are the people in my life. How can I serve this assignment and honor the Lord and love these people well to where when they leave my hands, they are hopefully better, they're hopefully stronger. And that's a two-way choice, because many of us in leaders, you know, you have people you lead and they just choose to not follow. They just choose to not receive. And, you know, there's a Bible verse again that says, don't throw pearls to the swine. In other words, don't waste your time chasing people who don't want to listen and be there. No one to let go. But always have an open hand and love those who are right here. And so I think the hardest thing, because I think it hurts our it might hurt our ego a little bit, is when as leaders we notice that those that we've been leading, it's time for them to fly and leave the nest. Are we going to sit on them because we are afraid that they've either outgrown us or that they're going to supersede us? Or are we going to celebrate it because we've been able to get out of the way and say, this is really not about me. At the end of the day, my life is about, for me, it's about God. It's about his kingdom and loving people to him and helping them find and discover who they are in him. So if I make my organization, if I make my home about me, myself, and I will also find myself not bringing in leaders that are high-level leaders because I will be their lid. And instead, I want to be known for a leader that develops leaders and launches them out to where people look around and see a crew of great generals, great leaders, and they say, where did you come from? And then they can know, oh, some like humble person over in the corner of the world did this. That's, it's not about our names. It's about our assignment and mission. It's not about me. It's about the legacy of the Gilbreth home, of my daughters soaring and running in their lanes. I got to know when to get out of the way.
Whew. That's good. So last question.
Yeah.
What would you say to someone who's just not being intentional with how they lead in their home, how they lead with friends? And you know, that the reality is that someone listening right now may realize like, ooh, I've been slipping. Mm-hmm. And what would you say? How would you encourage them?
Well, first, I just want to tell you that it's not too late. I want to say that again. It's not too late. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think many of us sit down and we give up trying because we just think it's too late.
Yeah.
You maybe have lost a lot, but I want to tell you that if you would put your faith in this God, Jesus, that his name is a redeemer. And what that means is that he can take what's lost and broken and he can actually repair it and he can restore it. So it might be an estranged friendship relationship. It might be a business, a company, a team of people, whatever it is that feels like it's so broken right now. God in the center of your life can redeem what feels broken. So I would say it's not too late. If you might make that step of faith to say, I'm going to give this to God and try putting him in the driver's seat and see what he can do.
Yeah.
I would secondly say this. I don't think anyone wakes up and decides to be stuck in life or feel like they're terrible leaders. Like that's not on that. I don't want to be a failure in motherhood or wife or whatever.
I'm going to really suck today.
That's my goal. I'm dreaming for it. So, And it's nothing we desire, but sometimes I think that what you said, we could become asleep to this. Yeah. And in fact, there's a real enemy, an enemy who loves to come and he wants to steal us of what God has called us to steward. Mm-hmm. I love in the Bible, it says that God invited Adam to take care of the land. Mm-hmm. There was a co-partnership together and he invites us to like build and dream and create. But many of us are just asleep to our purpose. We're asleep to what God's called us to do. And I mean, if we're asleep in the middle of the night and someone breaks into my house, I'm asleep and I don't know it. They're going to steal my stuff and I don't know what else they're going to do.
Yeah.
But if I know that there's someone in my home and it's in the middle of the night, well, I'm waking up Ryan, first of all. And Ryan's waking up me. Let's be okay.
Let's go together, right? We're both
like holding each other's hands, like on the phone to 911. No, I took Tai Bo. I used to do some kickboxing.
You don't take Tai Bo. That's not like a... It's not like a martial art.
I have a taser gun, okay?
Okay.
I can handle myself. I live in the Bay, so I know how to deal. Anyways, you would not stand or tolerate for that intruder in your home.
Yep.
So I would just say some of us, maybe this is like a wake-up call to, hey, it's time to put up some boundaries with people. It's time to become intentional. You know, one other thing our pastor says is he says, you know, we don't just need discipline, we need discipline. Some of us need to wake up and make a plan.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
We're going to plan out how to be better leaders of our home.
Mm-hmm. And I would just even say too, like, you don't want to be ignorant to what's taking place under your roof.
Good.
And that's not by any means to be degrading to parents right now, but we've worked with so many parents over the course of so many years, and they would sit back and they would say, I just didn't know my kid was engaging in this.
Yeah.
So for us, like, our daughter has a Nintendo Switch, and so she got this as a Christmas gift and she loves it. Well, on my phone, I get to set up healthy boundaries of what's okay for her. Mm-hmm. So even to the length of time she's allowed to be on it.
So like six hours a day.
Well, you know, six or whatever.
Take
her
few.
Yeah.
But she does not have online access as an 8-year-old. And I think what we have to do is we've got to be awake to the realities of what our kids are being faced with.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I would say just do not assume that when they have their phones that they're going to make wise decisions.
Mm-hmm.
We don't always know this becomes a portal to then expose our kids to too much at too young.
Yes.
And so if we can begin to help with the safeguards and walk in wisdom, I think you're going to find there's greater success, and then it opens up, you know, conversations.
Yes.
So we're super intentional on helping those boundaries.
Yeah. Entertainment, like, goes back to that wake up.
Yep.
Wake up. If we're not being intentional, somebody else is.
Yes.
If I'm not going to be intentional, the world will be intentional with my kids.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Whew. So good. Wake up, be intentional, because it matters.
Yes.
It matters so much. Leading in home, leading with your friends, leadership beyond the work environment matters incredibly. And I think you guys did a fantastic job of highlighting that today. So thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Christina.
Thank you for having us.
This was so fun.
So fun. And thank you to you for joining us. I hope that you take this, you grow with it, you try it, you get feedback, and you learn and keep going. So thank you for being here. We love you, and we'll see you on the next one.